I want to read just a little bit from the book of Psalms, the 14th chapter, and maybe read a little in the 15th chapter. If you've got your Bibles, you can turn over to the book of Psalms, the 14th chapter, beginning at the first verse. We'll read some together. Psalms, the 14th chapter. The fool has said in his heart, "There is no God." They are corrupt. They have done abominable works. There is none that doeth good. The Lord looked down from heaven upon the children of men to see if there were any that did understand and seek God. They are all gone aside. They are all together become filthy. There is none that doeth good. No, not one. Have all the workers of iniquity no knowledge? Who eat up my people as they eat bread, and call not upon the Lord? There were they in great fear, for God is in the generation of the righteous. Ye have shamed the counsel of the poor, because the Lord is his refuge. Oh, that the salvation of Israel were come out of Zion, when the Lord bringeth back the captivity of his people. Jacob shall rejoice, and Israel shall be glad. Lord, who shall abide in thy tabernacle? Who shall dwell in thy holy hill? He that walketh uprightly and worketh righteousness and speaketh the truth in his heart. He that backbiteth not with his tongue, nor doeth evil to his neighbor, nor taketh up a reproach against his neighbor, in whose eyes a vile person is contemned, but he honoreth them that fear the Lord. He that sweareth to his own hurt and changeth not. He that putteth not out his money to usury, nor taketh reward against the innocent. He that doeth these things shall never be moved. Now, you know, there is a lot in what David said. There's so much in this one scripture that you could preach a number of sermons very easily. There's one thing that I especially notice in these teachings, and that is, it did not say anything about believing. Did you notice that? So many evangelists that travel to and fro across the nation, they have led the people to believe that because salvation is by faith, that all they have to do is to believe. And if they believe, then everything is well with them. Now, I don't want you to think that I'm speaking arrogant, but it doesn't matter if they live like the devil, as long as they believe. And as I've said so many times, the devil does believe. The Bible said if you believe there's one God, you do well. The devil believes. Now, but it doesn't matter how you live. You just live any way you want to, according to their teachings and according to their doctrines. And the great multitudes follow these people. The reason for that is because the world loveth its own, and they are of the world, and they make allowance for the world because they are actively engaged in the things of the world. And because of that, the multitudes follow them because it does not crimp their style, as it has been so often said, or it does not suppress them in such a way that they cannot continue in the things of the world. Now, they do not say anything about righteousness. They just say all you have to do is believe. But I've said this a number of times in our preaching, that believing is not always faith. You understand what I'm saying? Just to believe is not faith. If you believe there's one God, you do well. The devil believes, but the devil doesn't have faith, because if the devil had faith, he would be saved, because we are saved by faith. Is that right? Now you say, Brother Pike, you don't believe that that is faith that the devil has? It is human believing. That's as far as he can get. But see, the Bible speaks of the faith which is by Jesus Christ. Is that right? You know, the Bible speaks of departing from the faith. It is not speaking of departing from the Baptist church, nor the Church of God, nor the Pentecostal Holiness, nor Brother Pike's Assembly. It is speaking of the faith of Jesus Christ. The Bible said, by the which we are sanctified. There is a faith, the faith, which is the faith of the Lord Jesus Christ. No human in the earth possesses that faith except by a gift. No human being possesses that faith except that that faith be given unto him. That's why the writers use the terms contend for the faith that was once delivered unto the saints of the living God. See, there is a faith that we must get a hold of that is not a human faith. Now, and so then that faith is the faith of Jesus Christ. That is the faith, that is the love of God that Paul spoke of that will constrain us to walk in the ways of holiness. Here, David doesn't say anything about believing, does he? But he tells them, he's telling the people, David being a prophet and a king, David said, who will stand in the hill of God? He didn't say, they that believe. David never said anything about somebody making a confession of faith or joining the church or doing some good thing toward the church. He said, he that walketh uprightly in his heart, the man that putteth not out his money to usury, the man that is not double-tongued, that is not a backbiter, that those that do not take up a reproach against their neighbor, those that are not troublemakers, David said, these people are in line to find favor with God. And I want you to know something, you can believe all you want to. But the writer said, oh, vain man, do you not know that faith without works is dead? He said, faith alone cannot save you. Now, when he said faith alone cannot save you, he was not speaking of the faith of Jesus Christ. Because the faith of Jesus Christ alone without any works saves a man. And when you depart from the faith, you depart from the faith of Jesus Christ. Not from your believing. You understand what I'm saying? Not from some denomination. We can believe anything in our believing. But the faith of Jesus Christ does not require any works. The works was finished from the foundation of the world. But your faith in God requires works. And those works are that you must walk uprightly before God. You've got to have a clean, pure, holy heart. And you can't backbite. And you can't find fault. And you can't be a troublemaker. And you can't interrupt the system of God and cause division between the brethren. You've got to be those that's willing, as dear children, to be under the leadership of the Holy Ghost. Whereas the Bible said, taking the oversight over the flock of God over which the Holy Ghost has made you overseers. You've got to be under the tutoring until the time appointed to the Father. Now, we don't like to be under tutors. I had a little difference with a brother yesterday. The man don't want to be under tutors. He doesn't want anybody to tutor him in anything. He wants to do just exactly what he wants to do. But I tell you, as a minister of God, you will die and go to hell unless you are under tutors and unless you listen to the oversight of God. And those people that take the outlook that they are tutors, and that they are the oversight, and that they don't have to have tutors, that God sent them to tutor, there's something wrong with them. In the first place, they are not an overseer. In the second place, they are not a tutor. In the third place, they're not right with God. And God hasn't even sent them anywhere. The Bible teaches that we are under tutors until the time appointed of the Father. And the time appointed of the Father is not when we decide that we don't need tutors. There is no such day in our lifetime. The time appointed of the Father is when we change and when the ultimate change of God comes in Thessalonians. When we are changed into the glorious image of the sons of God.
that the world may see that we have done what God hath commanded us. Now you say, Brother Pike, you mean to tell me you don't believe we ever get to the place to where we can tutor or be an overseer? We certainly do. There's men that God raises up to be tutors. There are men that God raises up to be overseers. But God has never raised up and never will raise up. No man. Not any man. That feels that he is a tutor and needs no oversight. I believe God has shared with me as much as you. But I still have the need of the Holy Ghost oversight and the tutoring of God. And when a man comes along, even Brother Eddie and others, I listen very carefully. Because the Bible said, submit yourselves one to another. And that is the body of the Lord Jesus. Somebody would say, well, I don't see anybody that I think could tutor me. You're forgetting, my brother, that is not a man. That is the body of the Lord Jesus Christ. And though it might be just a member that's just got started, he is capable of telling you something by the inspiration of the Spirit that you never knew. The Lord taught me this at an early age in my Christian ministry. Now, so then we need to be under tutors. We need to be under oversight. And I declare as a man of God before you today that any man that will not do that is a reprobate and a troublemaker and will cause division among the body of Christ, whether at Little Bethlehem or anywhere in the world. Because he is not anointed of God. He is not called of God. Now, I don't like to confuse anything because one day I will have to stand before the Almighty God. I will stand there as a shepherd, as the keeper of the sheep. I have to stand before God and I have to answer to God. And I have to give an account to the Lord of heaven for every mistake I ever made, every word that I ever spoke, every deed that I ever done. Wonderful words of life, Jesus said. My words are life. I have to give an account for every word I speak. Jesus said, he that gathereth not with me, he scattereth abroad. Is that right? So then I have to give an account to God. That makes me have a great fear of God. I know I have to walk upright before God. I have a great fear of God. Every word that I say, every thought that I think. The Bible said, casting down imagination and every high thing that exalteth itself against the knowledge of God, bringing into captivity every thought to the obedience of Jesus Christ. I must give an account to God. Therefore, I am careful as to what I tell the people, because they're going to listen to what I say. And what I say is going to build unity. It's going to build a brotherhood. It's going to build strength. It's going to bring the brethren together in one great compact unit. Or either is going to scatter them and cause them to be full of division. Now, that is why that I speak to you like I do. As a brother, I speak to you in the love of God, but I speak to you as an authority that God has sent to tell you these things. I believe that we can tutor. The Bible teaches in one place, said, do you still have need of tutoring when ye yourselves ought to be teachers? Now, Paul tells us to leave the principles, leave the foundation, not to throw it away, but rather that we have already laid the foundations of God, we've laid the principles of God, we've been through the principles of God. But Paul said no man goes back and lays the foundation of a house over and over, but we must build upon the foundation. I said the other night, did God need somebody to help him? Since when does God need somebody to help him? He said, I stretched out the heavens alone. I framed the earth. No one was there to help me. So then, does God need help? God didn't need any help. He made the help. He did not need help, my brother. But for his plan, it took some ingenuity. For his plan, he chose 12 men to be with him. Isn't that right? In the regeneration, 12 men that he promised to give a throne to. A lot of people, you know, they say, well, I don't consider this man worthy of nothing, but God promised to give them a throne and make them a king in the coming millennium. Is that right? So then God chose 12 foundations. And then one of the writers waxed bold and said, other foundations can no man lay, but these that God has laid. And said, let every man take heed how he build thereupon, for the day shall try his works. The time shall come when God will try his works, and they'll be tried as if by fire. Like the brother that we just spoke of over in Macon, Georgia, the trial is there. Will his efforts go down? Will his efforts be burned? Is his efforts in line with God? See, will our works really stand? Will God make them a memorial like it was in the days of Cornelius, when Cornelius fasted and Cornelius prayed and Cornelius sought God until the Bible said it become a great memorial before God? Has your prayers done that? Has my prayers done that? Has our efforts done that? Are we wise? Are we winning souls? Are we trying to bring a brotherhood? Are we gathering with the word? Or are we scattering people everywhere? So then, I believe that you can tutor. I believe that you can have a church. I believe that you can do a work for God. You don't have to be here at Little Bethlehem. Little Bethlehem is just another place in the earth. You don't have to be here to be a Christian. But my brother, you have to be under the oversight of Little Bethlehem. Somebody said, I think you're taking it too far. I'll tell you what, it reaches as far as heaven. If you can find a father place, then it'll reach to there. Every overseer, whether at Little Bethlehem, or whether in Tennessee, or whether in Texas, Alaska, Germany, Israel, every place God has a true man of God, that is a clean cut upright person that is educated in the things of God by the Spirit, you're under his oversight. He might not be here to oversee you here, but if you go into his territory, he's automatically there. Did you know that? You take a general, and brother, he might be a general over here in Georgia. There might be another general over here in Texas, and there might be another general over yonder. But I'll tell you one thing. When you're in Georgia, you're under that general. And brother, if they transfer you to another field, when you get to that field, you're under that general. And you're going to say yes, sir, and no, sir, to that general, just like you did to the first general. Because it is not the man, it is not the general, it is the powers and authority of the government of the law. And that's the way it is with God. It is the power, it is the authority of God. Somebody would say, well, Brother Pike, I've decided to be a general myself. Well, my dear brother, you don't decide to be a general. Somebody would say, well, I went to school to be a preacher. I can't help it. If you went to every seminary in this country, that doesn't make you a minister. You might have studied to be an engineer, but you can't study and become a minister. The priesthood is not given by that. That's a bunch of reprobates, a bunch of bastard children. It's causing trouble and perverting the cause of God. The Bible said no man taketh the calling of the priesthood to himself. That is a divine calling in God. Now, you may receive a calling in God, and you may decide to go to some seminary to try to further your understanding in God if it's a real Bible school. Paul taught at one school over there, taught for a number of years, or quite a while. There may be a school, it may be a God school, but I tell you, even then, you better be mighty careful. Because you can get on the wrong foot and get into the wrong seminary and be dead when you come out of it. Now, so then again, I say that we have need of a brotherhood. Isn't that right? Look at Samuel. Was there ever a greater prophet in all of the history of the world than Samuel? Was there? The Bible said that God never let one thing that Samuel said fall to the ground without performing it. Not one thing. How holy, how unadulterated, how perfect in the sight of God was this glorious man Samuel, the seer who loved Israel. But did you know that in spite of that, he had to go up to Eli. He had to go to the church. He had to remain there and be tutored. He had to be under the oversight until the day that he was ready for the ministry. And so it is today. There is a brotherhood. There is an oversight. The New Testament did not change that. They came together at Pentecost. They loved one another. They worked together. We get mail out of India. We get mail out of Africa. We get mail out of Israel. We get mail out of Central America and the different places. But all of the letters that we get from true men embrace a brotherhood and cry for fellowship and say, when are you coming, Brother Pike? Or when can we come to meet our brothers? That's the way it is. God's little family may be scattered throughout the world, but we are a brotherhood. We are brothers and sisters in God. That gives me a feeling of strength. Hallelujah. When I think about my brother in Israel, I think, glory to God, I've got a strength. I can reach way across the mighty ocean and embrace a hope. And as the brother just recently wrote from Israel, reached way across the ocean and said, God bless you, Brother Pike. And the people of Bethlehem said, because you embrace the feeling for the lost in Israel. And you are concerned about those that are lost in Israel. God bless you. Hallelujah. So then we are a strength, my brother. I cannot get out here and start off by myself and go by myself. I can't do it. I tried that. When I first started my ministry, I did not belong to any denomination. I did not belong to any brotherhood. I had nobody. I wanted to belong to a brotherhood. But the denominations would put a discipline out before me and say that I had to teach that. I had to believe that. And I had an overseer. He said, now, this is absolutely the only thing. He said, do you believe that? I said, no. And he got upset at me. I said, I believe the word of God. Now, so I was pushed out. But brethren, I made this statement a lot of times. If I had had a brotherhood, if I'd had somebody that I could have embraced, and there was some men scattered among the denominations that loved Jesus, that was good men, and those men I credit with helping me from time to time to keep my balance as I was coming up. But if I could have got a brotherhood, I would have embraced it. But I couldn't find it. But one day, the Lord spoke to me. I remember very well. I was over in Cincinnati, Ohio. I'd been fasting and praying and talking to God. My little family had been fasting. And God spoke to me in a vision. And he showed me in the vision, and some of you have heard me tell it, that I could not do this thing by myself. In the vision, I saw myself very clearly trying to do it. And God showed me that I could not do it by myself. That he himself chose 12. To stand with him. And then 70 more to help him preach the gospel. And he showed me that I had to have somebody to help me. And from that time on, I began to seek somebody to stand with me. Now I had my wife. I had my little children. They were fasting. Been a couple of days or more that they hadn't had any food. They stood with me on the field. But that wasn't enough. I had to have a brotherhood. And the Lord showed me that if I did not turn and coordinate and work and come together with someone to help me, he said in the vision, you will pay for it. And brother, I'm here today to tell you the same thing. Christ the same yesterday, today, and forever. You troubled the brotherhood. You split what God has done. And God will make you pay for it. If God will speak to a man that's given his life, that's given up everything, I give everything up and left. I didn't have a house. I didn't have nothing. I didn't have nobody. And I was fasting and praying to God. And if God told me that, he'll tell you that. He's no respecter of person. And brother, he'll tell the man that was disputing with us yesterday out here that did not want to be under the leadership of God. This is sad to say, but it's true. This is the very reason that so many of the Brother Branham followers have gone in error and been troubled the way they have. Is they want an oversight as far as the people that are looking on think. So they choose a dead man because they know a dead man cannot be an oversight. God didn't say anything about a dead man being an overseer. They want to be under a dead man. They say, Brother Pike, we believe your doctrine is right, but we found Brother Branham such and such, you liar. I say you are a liar. I say that so often across the sacred desk. And Jesus said, you're of your father the devil. He was a liar from the beginning, abode not in the truth. He caused a division among the brotherhood. You are a liar. What it is, you don't want to be under oversight. You don't want to be under overseers. You don't want to be under leader. You don't want to have any constraint. But my brother, you'll do it or die and go to hell. You say, but I'm a preacher and I preach the gospel. Paul said, if I preach the gospel and then I don't keep my body under subjection, I myself will be a castaway. Being a preacher doesn't have anything to do with it. Folks, preachers has got to live right just like anybody else. Did you know that? God ain't got no special respect to preachers when it comes to living right. All right. So then what are we going to do, brethren? There ain't but one thing. See eye to eye. Come on now. I said we got to see eye to eye. Eye to eye. Somebody would say, Brother Pike, you mean to tell me that I've got to see the way you see? Eye to eye. Somebody would say, well, but Brother Pike, I don't agree with you. Then we can't walk together. But now when you get to see an eye to eye with me, we'll take hands and walk together. Two can't walk together unless they be agreed. There's one thing for sure, my brother, I'm going somewhere and you're going somewhere. Say, well, I know where I'm going. There's one thing about it, I'm not too sure of that. But there's one thing for sure, when we get to the end of the way, we'll know. That's for sure. All right, so then I believe in a brotherhood. Oh, hallelujah, I feel the Holy Ghost. He believes in a brotherhood too. I believe in a brotherhood. Glory to God. Love one another, Jesus said. Be a unit in the earth. Be a strength in the earth. When people come to little Bethlehem, let them say, these brethren are like a cluster of grapes. You can't get them apart. They love one another. They love one another. That's what the brother got upset about out here the other day. That's what some of our brothers here get upset about. You say, brother. Paul said, there's false brethren among us. Now, that's what they get upset about. They want somebody to support their ministry. But a lot of times they don't have a ministry. And they want a following, somebody to flatter them and say things about them. That won't never do. When a man starts out for that, he's a reprobate. When God sent me to the ministry, he struck me down, turned me around, and sent me out into the ministry. And when he sent me out into the ministry, my brother, I did not go looking for any money. I was so shocked when a friend of mine, he was telling me how that we could hold a revival together. And he told me, he kept talking about, well, there's only one problem. You don't get all that much money out of a meeting. And finally he kept figuring. I said, well, what's money got to do with it? I said, I'm not interested in that. And I wasn't. So help me God, I wasn't. I said, I'm not interested in that. But he kept figuring until he figured me slap out of the picture. He absolutely did it. He kept figuring until finally he saw. He said, well, it's just, that was it. But I went for souls. I went to do something for Jesus. I went trusting God. And the Lord met my every need, brother. Every need, God met it. Somebody would say, well, I think you're lying. You know, that's the way the old carnal mind goes. I believe there's times when you're done without. Brother, if there was a time I was without, that's what I needed, was to be without. He supplied my need. Because there's a whole lot of times when this old body needs to be without so that God can break it down. God sent Elijah on a long journey. He hadn't eaten but one meal. Is that right? That was the last one before the journey. Is that right? But he went in faith, and God broke him down. And when he got there, he had got just exactly what he needed. If he had not had that about 40 days without food, he'd have not been in place to heard that voice. About the time the fire came down on the mountain, Elijah would have shouted and said, that's God. Oh, when the wind tore all them rocks up, that old flesh would have quivered and shook about like that and said, my God, you're here. See, but that old flesh was dead, and when the rocks was rent and the fire came, the old flesh didn't get emotional because it was dead. But when the small, still voice of God spoke, it stirred him, stimulated him, and woke him up. He said, my God! The Lord said, what doest thou here, Elijah? Like I was telling Brother Eddie yesterday, Eddie said, Brother Pike, it seems that God sometimes kind of keeps me down. Whereas you folks gave him about $550 while he was here, and about $500 to the Korean brother. We try to share with the brethren that come through. But he said, looks like God just keeps me down. You know, that wasn't the way he meant it. He was expressing to me that it looked like that he couldn't get up like some of the other fellows. I said, Eddie, the Lord led me that way for a long time. I said, what it is, I said, God just lets us have enough that when we begin to think in our minds, we can figure out that we can only get over here. You understand what I'm saying? That we can only get over here to Nineveh and not Joppa. If he give us a little more, we might do like Jonah. Is that right? So then God leads us. I've said this so many times. A lot of times God wants me to go somewhere or you to go somewhere. We're dull of hearing. We don't hear real good. And maybe the Spirit is speaking expressly, but maybe our hearing isn't too good. The Lord would want us to go somewhere, but he can't get us to hear. He can't stir an interest. And then after a while, it'll come across our mind. You know, that's a good fishing ground over there. Or you got a relative you haven't seen in a long time. Or there's a state park not too far from that area, and you need a rest. And then we say, well, I believe I'll go over there. And then when we get over there and we start to take our rest, the voice of God comes ringing out of the heavens and says, I've got a job for you to do here. But this is the only way I could get you here, is to let your natural ego be stirred up. But my son, listen at me, listen at me. And then we get shook up and we say, my God, forgive us for our slothfulness. What is it you want me to do? Oh, he's done that way so many times. So then, David doesn't say anything about believing, but he tells us that we have to be upright, that we have to obey the word of God. And my brother, that is faith. That is the faith of Jesus Christ operating in your heart, the faith by which you're sanctified. He purifies your heart by faith. His faith is imputed unto you as righteousness. Sanctified righteousness. You understand what I'm saying? That faith manifests good works. That faith prompts you to do more than to shake the preacher's hand or to make a confession or to shed a few tears like Esau. It changes you. It molds you together member to member, all baptized into that one body by one Spirit. And you are a brotherhood. You are a brotherhood. If you are an oversight, then I do not know what measure your oversight is. I do not know. Maybe you're a sergeant. Maybe you're a corporal. Maybe you're a PFC, if we want to use natural terms of illustration. Maybe you're a general. I know that George Washington just got promoted to a 5-star general just recently. And dead a long time, but he made it. Well, as I know, that's as high as they go. I sat here the other day preaching that they promoted him to a 6-star general. I told somebody, I said, well, I never heard of that, but if you say that's what it is, I'll take your word for it. But I should have done that because it was a 5-star general. The Lord promoted him. It still makes him what we taught him to be in the revelation, right down to a T. But nevertheless, God has ranks in the army of God. Jimmy sings, I am a soldier in the army of the Lord. He has oversight. And my brother, you remember this. A sergeant, a captain, or a general, somebody that has been in service for a long time, they don't have discernment, but they know human characteristics enough that if you resent them and find fault with them, they know that you're not submitted to their leadership. And it might take them a long time, but they'll get even with you. And they'll put you through some detail that'll break that thing off of you. You understand what I'm saying? God has a plan. I want to submit to it, don't you? Submit yourself one to another. Don't resent. Don't find fault. If there's an old yellow spirit, get rid of the thing. I can't say that I'm a general and you're a sergeant. That's not for me to say. I can't say what you are and what I am, but I do say one thing. I'm a minister of the gospel. And if my measure so reaches the place that people hunger and thirst after it, then they will come to the waters of the well of salvation to drink the water. And I will have the oversight over them because they will be drinking from my well. And they will be my responsibility, not because I went out and solicited, proselyted, but rather because the Holy Spirit drawed them to my leadership and my spiritual command. Peter commanded them to be baptized in the name of Jesus. So then, I tell you this. If you have outgrown Brother Pike, then go. But be careful, lest you be like the boy that came in here the other night, Gene, who had the long robe on, that believed it was Jesus. When I said to him, I said, Gene, where are you headed? He said, I'm caught in the wind. Be careful lest you be caught in the wind and be blown away as chaff. Like the little boy pulling the little red wagon, had studied for the priesthood for many years, wound up pulling a little red wagon, well educated, had studied for a long time, very intelligent. But his study and ego for the priesthood caused him to pull a little red wagon. I said, where are you headed? He said, toward the rising of the sun. You understand what I'm saying? Many spirits have gone out into the world. Try the spirits. See if it's the wonderful words of life. Jesus said, my words are spirit and life. That's what leads to insanity. People get off on a tangent. They get to listen to voices and it's not God. Then they get out there and they get all frustrated because it don't work out the way they thought it would. And then they realize they've run into a hard place. Now, so then, brethren, in closing this morning, I want you to consider this. The little boy with the red wagon wouldn't listen at me. He wouldn't listen at me. I tried to talk to him. He wasn't arrogant. He gave me an answer. I said, are you married? He said, to nature. I'd ask him a question, he always had an answer. It just so happens God sent me to the man with the little red wagon, the young fella. But I had to turn around and go back into Del Rio for something. Great storm come up, and I turned around and went back, not because of the storm. I done told my son it was driving, we're supposed to go back. He wouldn't accept it, so the storm come up, and he's ready to go back. It medicined away immediately. The day or two, I came back down the same trail. His bed and I journeyed down the trail. As a matter of fact, I think it is the old Spanish trail. But anyway, as we went down the trail, we got up quite a few miles from the first place that we had conversation with the boy with the red wagon. And there at a little old side road park, here he sat. Just a young fella. I don't know, just a young man. His little old feet was all swelled out of proportion, just horrible. I mean, to look at him, it was bad. He apparently didn't have anything to eat. All he had was his red wagon and his ambition. But I pulled over, and this time he wanted to talk different. I shared with him some food, whereas he was ready to take it. I shared with him some understanding. I talked with him, and he was ready to listen. And when I got through, he wrote me a little poem taken from the Zodiac with each character. And he characterized me according to the Zodiac in the way that he understood me. And it was a blessed poem if you can understand it. It's hard to understand when you read it. It seems so far out. The boy is so highly educated. His mind is developed in such a way, you have to really, really get down to understand what he's saying. But he wrote me a poem and expressed his feelings toward me, which was good. You understand what I'm saying? Brethren, it's so easy to run as one that beateth the air and wind up with a little red wagon pulling it. And nothing a lot of times in the little red wagon. Just pulling it. So then, let's don't do that. If you've got a calling for God, if you've got an ambition for God, if you've got a ministry for God, take your ministry, take your tutoring. But be sure of one thing, there's somebody that's going to tutor you. There's somebody you're going to be under. There's a brotherhood you're going to remain with and be controlled by. Or you are a branch that is cut off and cast out, and men will gather you to burn you in the fire. I want to say this in close. This is the trouble in the areas of Memphis. I spent many years in the areas of Memphis. I tried to teach them God in a brotherhood, but they wouldn't have it. Even to this very day, they're split to splinters. Nothing but trouble and problems. Because everyone wanted his own ministry and wanted to do his own thing, and they just fuss and fall until they've got some of the people, or just about all the people in the area, so confused that they don't know which way they're going. And some of them's head over heels in trouble because they didn't have anybody to care enough about them to try to lead them and tutor them and love them. And the overthought, and some of the people there are to blame for it. Whereas there's still some of the finest people in the world in the areas of Mississippi and Memphis. And they're trying to come together. But they're having a great problem. This is the same trouble that we have down in South Georgia. In that area there where they've got churches. They don't want any oversight. They want to be the supreme leader. And everything according to the way they say it has to be. And they've just gotten into a mess. And brothers and sisters, we at Little Bethlehem, if we do the same thing, we're going to be in the same mess. Now you take my word for it. If every one of you decide to listen to somebody else, and you pick out one in the audience, and you're not going to follow the shepherd, and you're going to follow the one in the audience, whereas Paul said, men from among you, in your own group, rising up, will cause the division, as they've already done. I preach this to you many times. He said, I say this to you in tears. Said, but it'll happen. Grievous wolves, he called them. Men's person in admiration, wanting the things of the world. He said, this will happen to you. And he said, when you do, he told them to beware. He also warned them that if you devour one another with your words and fight with one another and find fault with one another, said, take heed lest you be consumed of one another. So then what we need to do is to be a brotherhood. Did you know the brotherhood here at Little Bethlehem has caused such a stir in the islands around the different parts of the world and around the different parts of the nations? It has caused such a stir, the brotherhood, the love, until ministers get upset because they can't get you off in a corner and talk to you and indoctrinate you and make you their followers. They get upset about it. I told some of them to their face they did. Because you're so steadfast in God, some of you. That's the way it ought to be. You heard the shepherd say that when one wanders off, he's a sick sheep. Said sheep never wander off from the shepherd unless they're sick. All right, I want you to stand with me. Paul said it's the sick that need a physician. Whereas the Bible said, heal thyself, O physician. Being physicians of the Spirit of the living God, We want to help you, not harm you. But if you resent it, you don't want it, go your way. That's fine. But you don't go your way without having been told the truth. And then whatever you encounter, whatever the results are, whatever you do, that's between you and between God. But there's one thing about it, you're going to have problems. And I'm going to say this too this morning. I've got some on the campground. I've got some that are scattered around off of the campground that comes here. And though you might not be doing what some of the others are doing and pulling away, but you have pulled away spiritually. And you've become wolves in sheep clothing. Your mind is evil constantly, and your thoughts are resentful and jealous, and they're cunning and always tearing down. Whenever it's convenient, then you unload on some poor helpless person. But your day will come. The song speaks of it. Your day will come, and then it's going to be a sad thing. My brother, if you gather not with me, you scatter abroad. And the Bible said when the minister's speaking, it's not him speaking, but the Heavenly Father. If God sent me here to do a work to gather the people together, then if you do anything else, you must answer to God. You say, well, I do not believe it. God sent you here. Well, then you do not need to be here. You need to count me a hypocrite and go where you do believe. But if you believe that God sent me here, and our concern apparently must be for souls, because on this last trip, with the help of the Christian brethren, we reached something like 40 to 50,000 people, I would say at the least. On TV alone, there was about 7 states reached, and there was at least 30 to 40,000 tracts, as far as I know, that was given out, outside a church or two, and then preaching at the auditorium. Now, so being on TV there twice while we was there, 2 different days, we reached people. But folks, you're going to have to work with me, because you're going to have sad days if you don't. You're going to have sad times. Let's love one another. Let's work together. And let's do whatever we can for the glory and for the kingdom of God. There's a lot of revelational things that God has shared with me that I would like to share with you, but I just haven't felt to do it this morning. I felt to bring a little doctrine. Paul said, who can I teach doctrine? A lot of preachers say they don't teach doctrine, and they don't, because they don't have any doctrine. They're looking for a handout, following fame. But Paul said, who can I teach doctrine? The Bible said they continued steadfastly in the apostles' doctrine. So then I felt to teach just a little bit of doctrine this morning, talk to you and encourage you, and let you know that just saying I believe and making a confession of faith is not sufficient, my brother. But to be born again, the Bible said you must be born again of the Spirit of God. Unless you have His Spirit, you're none of His. If you don't have the infilling of the Holy Ghost, and I've got some here that doesn't have it, you need to get the infilling of the Holy Ghost. You need it. He's a comforter. He's your seal. He's your guide into all truth and righteousness. You need to have Him. He's the sweetest thing that ever happened to you, along with the blood of Jesus that was shed at Calvary that made way for Him to come. So, let's love one another. Let's pray for our brother and our fellow man. I pray for your children today and ask God to heal them. Praying for some of them last night. And then, who knows, tomorrow it might be my children. You may have to help me pray for mine. But we pray one for another. Work together. Love one another. All right. I hope that I've said something that'll help you, and I hope it's clear to you. That I want you to pray for Brother Clyde Cobb and family. I was praying for them last night. And even the night before, I was praying for him, and I believe I was praying for him last night. But anyway, how's that? There's a girl, a young girl, 25 or 4, young woman, I think she's got children, little girl, and they just found out that she's got multiple sclerosis, and already I think it's paralyzed her. But let's try to do something.
Did you know, folks, I'm going to let you go. Just take a minute or two. Did you know two girls came here, two women, young women, opposed to us here. As far as they knew, there was nothing wrong with them. Now they've got a report that as far as they know, they've got cancer. Another woman opposed us without from this gossip chain that got started. A woman that the folks loved here, was trying to work with, whom I knew, having already been shown it by the Spirit, that the woman wasn't lined up with God. But she opposed us. And she just recently contacted us to pray. She changed her mind. Said that, as far as she knows, the doctor said she had cancer. So many multiplied people. I'm telling you the truth, and I don't lie about it. It's the truth, so help me God. I could write a good-sized book, easily this size, on just the people that are dead or dying. Multiplied people that you know, many of them, because they took an opposition against this, are either families that have death of loved ones and different things that have happened to them because they were careless in this or toward the kingdom of God. Many of you have missed your healing when you would have gotten it. And you say, well, Brother Pike prayed for me and others and I didn't get healed. Why? Because you're not doing right. You're not walking upright. God isn't going to heal you like that. Jesus said, if I heal you, you go your way and sin no more, lest you be in a worse condition. I prayed the prayer of faith here, and some of the brethren have for you, and you come out of your bad circumstances and went back into a worse thing because you won't listen. Nobody can heal you. It doesn't matter if it's Brother Pike or Brother Terrell or Brother Roberts, whether it's Brother Eddie or whoever it is. Nobody can pray the prayer of faith for you if you're not going to do the right thing. The Bible said the bread is for the children. The rain comes on the just and the unjust. Many are the afflictions of the righteous. God delivereth him out of them all. It doesn't say anything about God delivering the wicked out of their affliction. If you find that in the Bible, would you kindly show it to me? Because a lot of times I feel people differing with me. They say, well, I differ with you. But a lot of times they don't know why they're different. They don't have any scriptural foundation. They just differ. But it might be well, my brother, to see what Spirit causes you to differ, whether it's your carnal mind or the Holy Scriptures.